We have an abundance of research that secular meditation is beneficial for your heart health, for your brain health, for getting sick less often, for your mental health. I mean, there has been exponential growth of research, not only in mindfulness, but also mantra meditation, where you repeat a word and a variety of other techniques. They're so beneficial even when they don't have the spiritual component.
Our minds are constantly bombarded with information, distractions, and stressors, leading to a state of chaos, oftentimes referred to as the monkey mind. In this episode of the podcast, Anne Swanson, an expert in meditation and mindfulness practices, will delve into the transformative world of meditation. Whether you're an avid practitioner or a newcomer to the practice, this conversation is going to enlighten, encourage, and empower you towards cultivating a more mindful and present way of life. With her calming energy and deep well of knowledge, Anne is going to share with us her journey on how movement practices like yoga and Tai Chi became the gateway to her meditation practice. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Shaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be. Through these conversations, together, we will step away from focusing on all the doing and step into the being so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. Throughout the episode, we're going to dive into the common misconceptions about meditations, such as the notion of achieving a blank mind, and replace them instead with actionable wisdom on how to truly engage with the practice. Anne provides invaluable insight into the neurological benefits of meditation, emphasizing its capacity to improve focus and presence in our daily lives. With an approach that is both practical and attuned to modern challenges, Anne's guidance is tailored for real-world practice. Here's what you're going to walk away today after listening to this episode with Anne. Number one, the purpose of meditation and its benefits. Number two, the process of meditation and observing thoughts. Number three, the importance of starting small and finding moments for meditation. And finally, number four, how meditation can help us learn to respond to things instead of reacting to them. Now, before we dive in, athletes, I want to quickly remind you that if you rate and review this podcast on iTunes and then send over that screenshot to Sherry at SherryShaban.com, you will receive a $500 voucher to join me in Transformation in Paradise Metamorphosis Greece this October, October 12th to 19th in Lefkada. Now, if you're wanting to transform your relationship with food and release other self-sabotaging habits, then this is the retreat for you. You can grab more information and check out the testimonials at SherryShaban.com/retreats. All right, now without further ado, let's meet Anne. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sherry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Oh my goodness. I already feel your energy, which is such calmness and serenity and bliss. And we're going to share how we can tap into that energy today through meditation. And one thing I want to say, Anne, is that when I first started meditating, I was like, okay, I'm not a meditation person because I need to keep moving. And it's all about fitness and movement. And you know what? Running is my meditation. Working out is my meditation. But through practice and understanding what is behind meditation, what is the purpose and why we're doing it, it really helped me shift into this place where now, and this is years later, I can meditate for hours. And so welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Anne. And before we begin, maybe we'll just talk a little bit about you and share with the audience how you even came across writing these two books and helping inspiring people to discovering meditation.
Yeah, Sherry, I was the same as you. I did not, you know, naturally feel like I could meditate. My mind would wander. I would go to a yoga class, and at the end of class, you do a meditation, whether it's seated or just the lying down in the final relaxation pose. And I'd be literally looking at my watch, like, it is time to go. I have things to do. It was not natural to me, but the movement part is what brought me to being present, right? We get that mindfulness and flow state through our movement practices. So yoga brought me to it, and as well as Tai Chi. Mm. And I ended up studying yoga in India and doing a lot of other training and sound healing. And then I also studied Tai Chi in China. So I had these movement practices, but what I started to feel was the biggest impacts were from meditation. And ultimately, these movement practices are to prepare your body and mind for meditation, which is like the higher practice. Mm-hmm. So if you have a movement practice, whether it be running and getting that runner's high, you know, exercising at the gym, yoga, whatever it may be, meditation is this like perfect complement for your movement practice. It can enhance your movement practice too. Mm-hmm. So they go hand in hand, as well as the movement preparing you to meditate. So you might find that meditating right after, you know, whatever movement you do, you're going to get a better meditation. But yeah, if you feel like your mind wanders too much to meditate, that is more reason to meditate.
Okay. So this is super interesting because a lot of people will start meditation. I was one of those people where I was like, okay, I'm supposed to quiet my mind. Why is my mind not quieting? Why am I still hearing things? Why am I still being distracted? And so if I were to ask you then from your perspective, what is the purpose of meditation and why do we want to add meditation into our life? How does that add value for us?
Meditation is not stopping your thoughts, according contrary to popular belief. People think, you know, I'm not good at it because my thoughts keep coming, but it's not about stopping them. It's about observing them. Mm. So people think that meditation is focusing on whatever focal point your teacher gives you. So perhaps that is your breath. Perhaps it's a word you repeat. You're given a focal point, and they think that the actual act of meditating is just focusing on that focal point. Mm. But really, meditation is a cycle. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you're given the focal point. And let's just say right now, you know, as you're listening to this, focus on your body awareness. So mm-hmm. feel the sensations in your body. That's your focal point. And then inevitably, second step of meditation is spontaneous thought. Your mind will wander. Even the most advanced meditators, this happens. Mm. So the next step to the process is mind wandering. Now, this is really important because the next step is where your brain goes into different network activity to determine, was that important or not? Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about perhaps, you know, what are you going to eat later? That's not relevant right now. That is not important. If you're thinking about, you know, it smells like smoke, is the house on fire? You know what? That's important. Stop meditation, right? So it's going to determine, is this important or not? And then the next step is redirecting it back to that focal point. And a whole new network comes to be active to bring you back. So you're strengthening the neural networks for coming back to focus, for noticing and coming back, and for focusing. And you're turning down the neural network involved in mind wandering, me thinking. If you think about it, when our mind wanders, we're usually like, what am I going to eat? Why did I say that yesterday? You know, it's all about me. It's the ego mind. You're turning that down. And that's going to help you in your everyday life. You're going to be able to focus. So if you feel like your mind wanders too much, this is boot camp for your focus.
Right. Wow. So good. And I was listening to this talk, I think it was last week, and it was a Buddhist monk, and he was sharing a little bit around how meditation is really about concentration and that there is this monkey mind. And so this monkey mind learned to work with it instead of try to resist it. And so that's what I used to do in the past, was when I would start to meditate and that the thoughts would come into my mind, I'm like, don't think about them. And I would try to resist them. And the more I did that, I realized the more I created thoughts, and especially thoughts around that thing. And in fact, it started to grow and expand. And so what he's saying is allow for this monkey mind to have a job, because it wants to have a job. And so maybe that job is watch your breath. And maybe that job is just notice the thoughts. And so as you give this monkey mind a job, he also recommends give this monkey mind a part-time job and not a full-time job. Mm. Otherwise it becomes your master, right? And so what he's referring is really exactly what you're sharing, which is just allowing yourself to notice. And also notice that the monkey mind will be in concentration for just a short amount of time until it gets distracted and then does something else. And so you just have to come back to the breath or come back to the body awareness and sensations. And again, I'll come back to, for a person who is just starting out, what is the right amount of time to get started? How can they start to progress? And what, Anne, would you recommend as ways to enhance that capacity to just sit in that silence and sit in that concentration?
Yeah, to enhance it is first like recognizing that you're not trying to master your mind or master your monkey mind. You're befriending it. You're becoming more comfortable with it. You're listening to it. Your mind and your body are constantly speaking to you, but we are pushing that down often. We're ignoring it. So, befriending your monkey mind, befriending your body and its wisdom and the signals that come to you, that's the act. It's not stopping your thoughts. So, like you were describing, it felt like frustrating to try to stop them and master them. Instead, you're observing them. And naturally, something happens when you observe. It's like you step back and you're able to have a new perspective. You're not having as deep of a conversation where you're believing your thoughts. Instead, you're able to have a perspective, kind of like you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, okay, I see this happening, but you're not like as you are a little emotionally involved. The emotions move through you, but not to the same level as if you were having that interaction conversation, you were doing the thing. So it's ability to watch and step back. And people think, you know, oh, I need to sit for 20 minutes a day on a meditation cushion. It needs to be perfectly quiet. Well, my new book, Meditation for the Real World, is debunking that. On the cover of Meditation for the Real World, there's a girl, she's sitting on a subway, and she's the only one that looks calm and at ease. She's got her feet planted down, she's sitting tall and has headphones on, listening to a guided meditation. The people around her are hunched over their phones, scrolling. You know, they're distracted, they're doing work. And, you know, instead of scrolling while you wait, why not meditate while you wait? It could be a 1 minute meditation, it could be fit through your day in those moments where you are typically just waiting. For me, it's waiting like in the waiting room at the doctor's office. That's pivotal for me because when I go to the doctor's office, I tend to pass out, or historically, I've had this problem of like getting really anxious. That brings out the anxiety in me. And so I found that if I could integrate the meditations right before the activity, right before you go on stage, right before you press accept on that Zoom meeting where you have an important call and you need to be on your game, if you can take a 1 minute, even a one breath meditation when your kids are testing your patience and you might yell at them. Close your eyes, take a one breath meditation. You get immediate results when you place them in these moments.
Wow. Okay, that's so cool. And in just a moment, I actually want to ask if you're open to it, to maybe sharing with us a small demonstration of how to get started.
Yeah.
But everything around what you said, what was coming up for me is perfection is the enemy of execution. And so what I notice also when we over information ourself, and I just coined that term, we start to get very confused around what's right and what's wrong. And so from this source, we're supposed to keep our eyes closed. From this source, we keep our eyes open. From this source, we're not allowed to lie down. We have to be seated, maybe in lotus or half lotus position. And in this source, they're saying that we should do mantras. And so I find also for me, when I first started my journey, it was so overwhelming. But what I love about your book and what you're sharing is you literally can do this anywhere. It doesn't need to be a certain setting. There is no wrong way to do it. It's really just you connecting with self. And I think just again, becoming that witness or the observer of the thoughts, you're just watching your thoughts. And so I just want to honor that. And then the other thing too, Anne, I'm sure somebody's listening and is like, what do you mean watch my thoughts? Like, why do I even want to watch my thoughts? Like, why am I going to meditate to watch my thoughts? And how is that going to help me? And so what is your take on that?
Yeah, so I love what you said about perfection being the enemy of execution. I think of how this is a practice, right? This isn't something you're born with. Like, it's like reading. It's a skill you learn and you keep getting better at. And then it improves every aspect of your life when you know how to read and when you meditate. It's going to change everything for you. So I think of it's not practice makes perfect. It's practice makes you present. You're going to become more present through the day with your interactions with other people. You're going to be able to get into flow state better. And so practice is going to improve your focus and presence. Now, watching your thoughts is watching when it gets to that distracted place and noticing, is this important right now? Is it important that I worry about what I said 10 years ago and how silly I am for saying that? I mean, honestly, we have this voice in our head and it follows us around everywhere we go, and we often converse with it and believe it. But if that was an actual person on our shoulder following us around, we'd be like, that is, yeah, get away. All you do is talk. All you do is criticize. The things you say to me about me are so awful. And so it's about noticing that little chatter, that person, that monkey mind, and being able to step back and not believe it. And something magical occurs with your thoughts. They then begin to shift.
So good. So good. And we are that part of us as we meditate, connecting with that part of us that is looking through the eyes, and that part of us that is listening to the sounds, that part of us that's noticing the thoughts and noticing the body sensations and noticing the emotions. And this is what really transformed my life. Is in the past, it would always be something would happen in my world and then I would react to it. Like there's no space in between. Something would happen and I would react. And just my default emotion personally is I'm a fighter by nature, so it would be aggression or anger, or that would be sort of the way I'd react to something. So instead of feeling sadness or instead of feeling other emotions, that's just what I would feel. And so obviously, when we are angry or when we're responding with anger, we're going to tend to say something that we may regret later. We may not be in complete control or centered around what we are wanting to say, or maybe even around what we are wanting to do. And so what I personally noticed, Anne, is that as I started to meditate, I started to create a distance between me and that trigger. And it gave me enough time to respond. So instead of having to react to something, I'm able to respond to something. And then all the other areas of my life improved. My relationships improved. My relationship with myself improved. My relationship with my body and my health improved. My relationship and my business improved. In fact, I started to see abundance and amazing things happen in my life without even doing more work or doing anything extra or anything different. All I did was meditate and create a distance by just witnessing the thoughts and witnessing the emotions and noticing that I'm not actually any of these things. I'm actually what is experiencing all of these things. And I think this is really, really valuable, especially for some of us that have a very high stress life and just have a lot going on and just a lot of busyness. How can we actually learn how to respond to things instead of reacting to things?
Yeah, and instead of thinking of like you're going to be adding another thing on your list of things to do, right? That's overwhelming. Think of this as, like you said, it's almost like taking the load off, taking the burden off. So it's going to expand other things, expand your time. And so that's also why I like to integrate it into my life, is because I'm not adding it. I'm just fitting it into these moments where I have pauses and making it a powerful pause rather than a mindless pause. It's a mindful moment.
Oh, so good. I love everything that you're saying. Okay. So now, can you guide us, if you're open to it, through maybe a small little meditation or even a setup for a meditation for those who are just getting started and are interested in committing to this practice?
You know, I love that you gave the example of anger. The thing about meditation for the real world is it's a handbook. It's not a book you read cover to cover. It has meditations for specific situations, emotions, life stages. So there's a whole section on how to meditate to deal with your anger. There's meditations for FOMO. There's meditations for doom scrolling, anxiety, depression, grieving the loss of a loved one, pain. And I looked at the evidence, the research to support what would help in each of those situations, as well as looking at the tradition. So with anger, We're going to do a compassion meditation. This one's a little difficult, actually. I want everyone to think of somebody that you're frustrated with right now. Not somebody you're angry 10 out of 10 anger, like they betrayed you. Somebody that you're frustrated, that annoying person at work, even if it's like, in traffic, somebody that cuts you off, like anybody that like makes you want to curse, makes you a little frustrated. It may be even a friend that you're feeling frustrated with. Hopefully, we've all mustered up an image of someone.
I'm
Okay.
feeling, yeah, we have.
All right. If you're able to, you can close your eyes. That's always optional, depending on what you're doing. If you're driving, of course not. But I want you to just take a moment and, in this safe space, allow yourself to feel that frustration. Allow it to come up and notice where you feel it in your body. Maybe your chest gets tight or your stomach kind of rumbles. Maybe you feel it in your shoulders or jaw. Notice wherever it comes up, maybe multiple places. And notice what happens to your breath when you imagine the frustration with this person and let it come in. Now, I'd like you to start with the easiest one. We're just going to say to them good wishes. And it's easiest to just say, may they be safe. So you can repeat this in your head. And imagine that person at ease and safe. May they be safe. May they be healthy. Imagine them healthy, glowing. May they be joyful. Repeating, may they be joyful. May they be free from suffering. May they be at ease. Notice how it feels in your body now to send them good wishes. You might have felt a shift, and it doesn't mean that, whatever happened with them mean you can't then talk it out or even stop talking to them or whatever needs to happen, right? It doesn't mean you can't take action when somebody does something bad for you. But if you can become an alchemist of your emotions, by rather than cursing at them, sending them negative vibes, take a moment. It's easiest to just say, may they be safe. Somebody cuts you off. My partner deals with road rage. Instead of like cursing at them, may they be safe, right? Because they're a reckless driver. May they and everybody around them be safe. So you can find one that's easy. And even in the moment when I'm in a social situation and there's that one person in the group that just says the most sexist and racist things, and you're just like, oh, rather than sending them negative vibes or taking an extra sip of alcohol, may they be safe. May they be healthy. If they were free from suffering, do you think they would act like this? Send them good wishes. So that's one that I do for anger, frustration, road rage, which is also in the book.
This was so powerful. So as you started, and you really just started guiding us through that, I brought up the image of just a little experience I had. And by the way, we all have experience in our relationships, so I am sure we're all able to pull something up. And as I started just to focus on that, I did feel that tightness in my chest and my shoulders. And then as you guided through that, and then thinking of even sending them nice wishes, best intentions, I felt
Yes.
immediate relaxation in my chest. And this is so amazing because that took what, like 1 minute? Like
Yeah.
that was
And
nothing.
you could just choose one phrase to send them, just may they be safe. It could be a one breath meditation to get these benefits.
This is so good. This is so good. And so I'm actually going to start using that now. Every time I hear myself or feel myself getting irritated while I'm driving, because that's like I need to work on my patience, and I need to work on being patient, standing in line and driving
Yes.
and waiting, right? And so I think I'm going to start pulling these up. And when I look at workouts.
Can we pause? My partner's using the blender and like I'm just gonna be right back. He doesn't know
And
I'm
I
in an
can't hear it, by the
interview.
way.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead. Luis, you're gonna have to edit this part, okay? She'll be right back. But we'll edit this part and we'll just cut out that part after the last thing that we said.
Okay, thanks. I was like, I don't know if this is gonna get worse.
All good. I didn't even have power this morning. I had power outage for like 3 hours, and I mean, gotta do what we gotta do. So, all good. So one thing that's coming up for me, and even when I think about fitness or think about exercise or even just being in our rituals around self-care is that our 100% changes every day. So some days we have more energy and our workouts feel easier. Other days, oh my goodness, we feel like we're dragging ourselves through it and just trying to finish. And so I've also noticed that with meditation. Some days I'm like, oh my God, I've connected with the divine. And then other days I'm like, do I even meditate? And so what are your thoughts around that? Is that natural? And do we do anything with that, or do we just stay in the flow and we just continue to show up for our practice?
Such a great question. And I love that you already compared it to exercising because that's exactly how I think of it, right? When we meditate, we're getting our reps in, like we're going to the gym, right? We're strengthening the muscle of awareness, or really, we're strengthening specific neural network activity. But we can think of it as similar to strengthening a muscle. And when we wake up and we don't feel like working out, but we still go, and maybe we even don't do our best workout ever, but at the end, we're like, I'm so glad I went. That was, you give yourself even more credit, I hope, on those days where you didn't feel like going, but you went anyways. Maybe you slacked off, but you did it. That's important. So the same thing with meditation. On the days where your mind is wandering a lot and you feel like, wow, I'm really not, quote unquote, good at this. That's the day you're getting the most strengthening to those neural networks because you're noticing those juicy things that are coming up, right? You're noticing those distractions, that frustration, or whatever emotion you're dealing with is probably more intense. So you're getting more distracted. And so this is even more of boot camp for your focus. We are strengthening that neural network activity to be more present, even more. So if you can look at it that way, each time your mind wanders, each time you have a frustrating, you're like, oh, my mind is wandering extra today, that is an opportunity to
Oof.
practice presence during the biggest challenge. And I say the same for when it's loud, like when you expect it to be perfectly silent for you to do a meditation and then an ambulance goes by or your partner starts the blender, whatever comes up. Then you are able to train in those challenging moments. And really, meditation is preparing us for life. And life is not perfectly silent. So it's an opportunity when we have extra sounds to come back to presence.
That's right. Wow, so good. So good. I love that you say that. This is a reminder that this is why we're meditating. If we're always going to take ourselves away to a quiet place, there's no distractions. I need exactly an hour for this to work. Same thing with exercise. This is what I always also share around our philosophy with fitness, is that you are the machine and you have to be adaptable and you have to be flexible. And if you can do it anywhere without equipment, oh my goodness, you are so set up for success and you're so much more likely to commit to this. And the other thing too that I want to say about meditation is it doesn't necessarily have to be attached to a particular religion. So I love that it welcomes all religious backgrounds. So whatever you already believe in, there isn't a need to replace that by starting a meditation practice. I actually have found that it strengthens it because, again, it really just reconnects you to self, to soul, to spirit, to whatever higher power that you believe in. And so, what is your take on that in terms of have you noticed any resistance with people wanting to meditate or maybe avoiding meditation because of concern that it may conflict with whatever religious beliefs they currently have?
Yeah, so meditation can be secular or spiritual or even religious if you want it to be. It is highly adaptable. And so a lot of the research is on mindfulness done in a very secular way. And we have an abundance of research that secular meditation is beneficial for your heart health, for your brain health, for getting sick less often, for your mental health. I mean, there has been exponential growth of research, not only in mindfulness, but also mantra meditation, where you repeat a word and a variety of other techniques. They're so beneficial even when they don't have the spiritual component. However, there's a lot of spiritual meditations too, and you can tie meditation to your religion. I think the biggest area I see some resistance is people that are very religious and might fear that it conflicts with their religion. But it can be adapted so easily. And I find that if you are religious and you have a prayer practice, Meditation right afterwards is the best time
Wow.
because prayer is like speaking to God. And we know this neurologically too. The neural networks that it activates, the areas of the brain are more similar to as if you were speaking to someone. And then meditation activates areas more similar to as if you were listening and visualizing. And so if you think of prayer as speaking to God, then meditation is that time to listen afterwards. So I think it works really well with religion. It works really well if you're not religious. It's a great way to get in touch with yourself. If you are comfortable with the word spiritual, which just means not of the physical world, it's just something that means of the spirit or of the beyond. You know, if you're comfortable with that word and you're comfortable with that it can be spiritual for you. It can be adapted to whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, that's so good. And even just to think about the nervous system and all the science that you just shared, because there's so much information out there around how there's physiological changes that we receive after meditations, and as well as healing capacities that we are also able to benefit from when it comes to meditation. And so if we just go and focus on this area, these benefits, and remember that we live in a society where there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of expectations, we're constantly moving from one appointment to the next, there's constant feelings of overwhelm. So what if meditation is just a way for me to take a small break and just reconnect with self and help shift my nervous system from fight or flight or protection mode to parasympathetic rest and digest, or what I call safety mode?
Yeah, it is. And you can think of these 1 minute meditations or even one breath meditations as a, like, it's almost like a reset button for your nervous system. But really, we think of it more like a knob. You know, it just turns it in the direction you want to go in, which usually we want to go into toward the parasympathetic nervous system state. But we can use breathing techniques or focus techniques to actually go the other way. If you want to get really alert before your workout or before you give a speech, you could get yourself hyped up with a meditation too. But typically, yes, you're right. It goes turning the knob down more into that rest, digest, and rejuvenate part of your nervous system, the parasympathetic state.
This is so good and so much value today. And I love everything that you shared. And as we conclude our conversation today, I'm just curious if you had anything else that you wanted to share, any last words of wisdom or insights with the audience.
Well, if you've been wanting to start a meditation practice, or maybe you tried before, but you had a hard time sticking with it, I encourage you to go to meditationfortherealworld.com to check out my book, which is not only like a book you read, but it's really a great like gift book. It has illustrations from a New York Times illustrator. Yes, so it's a beautiful coffee table book by your bedside type of book. But as a gift to your listeners, I am giving free audio guided meditations when you go to meditationfortherealworld.com that guide you through 10 minutes a day to build that practice. And I explain the science behind building a meditation practice, how to do it, how to go back and forth, like you said, one person says this is right and this is right. How to really navigate that. And it incorporates sounds and music therapy that has been engineered to optimize your brainwaves for practice. So if you are one of those busy people with busy minds, make that 10 minutes the most efficient you can. So head to meditationfortherealworld.com.
Thank you so much. It's so generous. We're going to share all of those links in the show notes. So make sure you check that out. And if you are currently experiencing a lot of overwhelm, a lot of stress, why not just give it a try? Without expectations, without needing to fully commit yourself, why not just try this for 30 days? See what happens. Visit Anne's website, try some of her guided meditations, try it out for 30 days, and then you decide and notice the effect and the benefits that it's given you for yourself. So thank you again so much, Anne, for such a beautiful conversation. I loved every moment.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life.
Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.